Another day, another meeting with an upset trading partner. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The latest country to be embroiled in trade negotiations with the U.S. is India. U.S. officials are there wrapping up 2 days of meetings. India, like so many other countries, is threatening retaliatory tariffs in response to U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. As tensions escalate around the world, we've seen companies react. Some are moving production overseas, others are adjusting supply chains, others are raising prices. But some of these changes aren't easily reversible, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
If you're leading a multi-million dollar company, you probably don't make decisions like moving your operations overseas very lightly. At least that's how Robert E. Scott, a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute, sees it.
Moving a manufacturing plant overseas involves fixed cost, and it's going to take a substantial change in business conditions to make it worth your while to move those plants back to where they were before.
Right? Because when you move, you have to hire a new workforce and get used to doing business abroad. It's a culture shift and a logistical puzzle. Joshua Meltzer is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says when a business commits to a move, they're thinking long term.
We've certainly seen companies relocate and bring production back as circumstances change, but I think that it's not going to be necessarily as simple as reversing the trade policies.
And if retaliatory tariffs start locking businesses out of certain foreign markets, companies with even some operations overseas could face greater competition from foreign firms with friendlier trade relationships in those markets. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 4 to 8 tenths% range, with the Dow future down 116 points. And while we're on the numbers, here's one more for you. $105 million. That is how much investment bank Goldman Sachs stands to make from helping 21st Century Fox sell some of its assets to Walt Disney. And one last number, zero. That is the number of times that Chinese newspapers are allowed to mention China's nationalist economic policies. China's government has ordered news outlets not to talk about Made in China 2025. That is the plan to recast China as a global leader in high tech. Out of sight, out of mind.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace delivers public service journalism that matters. Now, you can help us do it by becoming a Marketplace investor today. And right now, your donation in any amount could unlock a $25,000 challenge from Candida if we meet our fiscal year goal of 6,000 donors by June 30th. Contribute today at marketplace.org to support the news you trust.
It was just over 2 weeks ago that the Justice Department's attempt to block a merger between AT&T and Time Warner was denied in court. So what's next for the Justice Department's antitrust squad after that loss? Let's go to Marketplace's David Brancaccio, who's at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado this week.
It's not clear if the government will appeal the decision allowing AT&T and Time Warner to merge, especially after the federal judge in the case hinted strongly the government shouldn't even try. I'm here with the Trump administration's point man on this, Maken Del Rahim, Assistant Attorney General of the United States and Chief of the Justice Department's Antitrust Division. Good to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
So what did you learn from the way it went down with AT&T, Time Warner?
Well, we learned that, the government is often the underdog in a lot of these cases. And we're still considering our next steps and whether or not the government will appeal.
You're the underdog. You're the government. At some sense, do you feel you were somehow outgunned?
Well, look, we have some of the best and most dedicated public servants who try this case. But, we don't have the same resources available to us. We don't have a, 24-hour dedicated news channel to go out and spin your case to the American public and judges and others, as some merging parties might.
Now, you may have seen this quote from a Georgetown law person. If the AT&T decision is not going to be a chill on antitrust enforcement, I don't know what is. You don't agree with that?
I don't know if it's on enforcement. It depends on if other judges follow the same evidentiary rulings this particular judge did and also dismiss the types of evidence we presented. And I frankly don't think. I think, 8 out of 10 judges might have treated this case differently.
Now, people love their technology, but increasingly there's concern that the big tech and social media companies are getting too powerful. I mean, that's your line of work, right? Policing companies that get too powerful? Or is it about just worrying about that consumers are getting the best price?
It's not so much the best price. The price is determined by the competition. So the idea is the greater the competitive process, the better the price ultimately will be, or the better the products will be for the consumer. And that's where you have fair competition in the marketplace. Our job is to police that. It isn't to keep companies from getting too big. If they're better at what they do, if customers like what they do, more power to them. Or the free market system encourages that. And we shouldn't punish them once they have reached a certain level of success. If they are too big, though, they also got to be careful. They can't take anti-competitive practices that harms competition, which ultimately harms consumers. A perfect example of that was certain practices Microsoft was taking 20 years ago when they had, 95% of market share of the operating system, and they were trying to prevent, new competition that would have threatened that through the internet browser, and the Justice Department brought a case, and there was a Court of Appeals affirmation of that.
To what extent is this big debate over privacy as these companies are getting bigger, is that your problem over in the antitrust division?
We would only think about the privacy effects to the extent it affects, the competitive elements. With respect to online, the consumers show sometimes their preferences for different products. Consumers might begin valuing their privacy more than they do right now. Right now, they're willing to trade, where they're going in exchange to use Waze for free. I do that every single day. But maybe there's a point at which I may not be comfortable in providing that type of information of that.
Megan Del Rahim is Assistant Attorney General responsible for overseeing the Justice Department's Antitrust Division. Mr. Del Rahim, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll hear more this week from David at the Aspen Ideas Festival, including a talk with designer and brand tycoon Eileen Fisher about evidence women do better than men at startups. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.